Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Someone has said, pressure produces. It's when we're suffering that God refines our character. And that's more important than Him answering our prayers when we think He should. Unanswered prayers and suffering form in us the quality of endurance. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Now, Erwin Lutzer concludes a message on what to do when the promises don't work, with some lessons we can take home.
A couple of observations. First of all, sometimes people who suffer, often when they suffer, they are in the will of God. Is your finger in the text today? Notice what it says. You have need of endurance. I love that word. Some translate it patience, but the idea is endurance. You just go on believing no matter what. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you'll inherit the promise. God is saying this idea of your homes being plundered and your property being stolen is for you the will of God. Don't ever let a preacher tell you that if you're suffering, you're out of God's will, because all that you need to do is to exercise your authority and to get out of that suffering. Because sometimes it is God's will for you to suffer. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was no escape hatch. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. There are people who are suffering in other countries today. Believers who are sitting in jail. Believers who are being racked and tortured. And I know this is tough to say, but I'm going to say it. They are suffering within the will of God. And I would like to just be an observer regarding their reward that they shall someday receive. Some of us are going to be so far back when the rewards are handed out, all that we'll be able to do is to see others. But that in itself would be a great blessing as we see them rewarded, because they know that they have a more enduring possession, the text says, and they endure it for the cause of Jesus. Another lesson to be learned is that suffering doesn't last forever, but God does. God does. Or let me say it this way, suffering doesn't last forever, but eternity does. Eternity is a long time. Paul says that the suffering of this present world cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. He calls it the light affliction, which is but for a moment. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, I have lived with injustice for 10, 20 years. There are scores that have not yet been settled. Let me quote the scripture again. Your light affliction, not heavy, but light, is but for a moment in comparison to the eternal weight of glory. Paul is saying what you need to do is to take a scale. On one side of the scale, you put all of your affliction, all the things that God hasn't done for you, and you put it on this side, and it would be like a feather, and on the other side, the eternal weight of glory would be like an elephant stepping on the scale. And there you see the difference, the eternal weight of glory. And so we come to the bottom line here. The bottom line, folks, is that there's nothing wrong with the promises. Every promise of God is yea and amen in Jesus Christ. But we need to realize that until we see Jesus face to face, we live with unfulfilled promises. We live with unfulfilled promises. In this series of messages, I'm going to go through the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to show you that Abraham dies without seeing the promise. And we'll look at all of the promises that God gave him, but he dies and he doesn't see them. Will he see them? Yeah, he'll see them. He will still see them. But he died without them. Could I put it to you this way, my friend, today? Today we have the drop, but the Bible says that the day is coming when we're going to have the whole ocean. Today we have the flower, but the day is coming when we're going to have the garden. Today we get the hors d'oeuvres, but the Bible says that the marriage supper of the Lamb awaits us. It is worth it. It is worth it to follow and keep on believing whether God answers your prayers or not. It is worth it. You say, well, should these people have been praying? They were living by promises, but not promises of deliverance, but promises that God would give them endurance, knowing that many of their promises were still future, that God would give them endurance so that when they had done the will of God, they would receive what was promised at the return of Jesus. God says we have to wait. We don't get it all now. I don't agree with the book that says heaven now. No, not even in Chicago is this heaven now. All right? But there is something in the text that I want you to see. It says that the righteous one, my righteous one, I love that. God is saying, my righteous one shall live by faith. If you belong to God, you live by faith. And the way in which you belong to God is also by faith. Remember, this was the text, Habakkuk, and then later on also, as it's reiterated in the book of Romans, that sparked what was known as the Great Protestant Reformation. As people wondered how they could get God's approval, they wondered how in the world they could meet God's high standard. Nobody was meeting God's high standard. They never even pretended they could because it was too high. And no matter how often they confessed their sin, tomorrow was another day, like trying to mop up the floor with a faucet running. And so they knew not where to turn. And suddenly, as the pages of Scripture were unfolded, it was discovered that wonderful ancient doctrine embedded everywhere on the pages of the New Testament, that it is through faith that we come to God, faith in what Jesus accomplished for us. That's why I say to you today, if you're not one of God's, if you're not his righteous one, notice there, my righteous one, if you're not one of his righteous one, the way you become righteous is not trying to clean up your life, however valuable that may be. The way you do it is you accept the righteousness that Jesus provided for those who believe. And that's the way in which you can be saved. And once you are, then the life of endurance begins. And the life of believing. We're saved by faith and we live by faith and we live by all the promises, just knowing that many of them will not be fulfilled even in our lifetime. That in the end, it'll all prove out to be true. Notice that the text says this. The author is optimistic, verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. What he's doing is talking to Christians who could shrink back, and you've met them, and I have too, and they will be destroyed, and their souls will not be preserved. I don't think this is a reference to hell. What it is a reference to the ruin of those who believe in Jesus, but for some reason throw away their confidence and they give up and they stop believing and sin begins to take over and corrodes their souls. And in that sense, they are destroyed. My question to you is this: do you endure? The first move that you and I need to make is to receive Christ as Savior as a free gift. Now, that's a promise you can depend upon. That's a promise for the here and now. Whoever hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, Jesus said. So that's where it begins. But after you've received him, it's a life of faith day by day. And you keep on believing no matter what. The result? Great possession. better promise, great reward. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, we want to thank you today that you do answer prayer. We thank you, Father, that as these people cried up to you and they were not delivered, that you did give them endurance, which was a great answer to prayer, so that they honored you through their lives, and we believe entered into, partly at least, their great possession to be fully realized at the return of Jesus. Now, Father, give us endurance for the person who's here today, willing to give up on you, hasn't prayed in months, maybe, seriously prayed, because they don't think you answer anyway. Help them to confess that sin and to say, we will continue to believe and to trust and to relate no matter what. For those who may be here who've never trusted Christ as Savior, they can't look at this text and say, well, I belong to the category there that says my righteous one, because they've never received the righteousness of Jesus. Would you cause them to believe? Grant them the ability to do that. And now, before I close, you talk to God if God has talked to you. Father, hear our prayer and encourage us, we pray. Amen. Amen. Just recently, I spoke to a man who told me that his father had a very hard heart toward God. And the reason is, when his father was a boy, he had a sister who was sick. And as a boy, as a brother, he prayed and prayed and prayed that God would heal his sister. But she died. As a result, he's given up on God, he's given up on prayer, because as far as he's concerned, God is of no value to him at all. This series of messages is directed to people just like that, but also to those of you who have soft hearts toward God, but have become bitterly disappointed, because you expected God to listen to you, yes, and then to answer according to your requests, and he has not done so. And that's why I've entitled it The Triumph of Unanswered Prayer. Because even though prayer may be unanswered, it is still valuable for us. And I point out that what God does in us while we are waiting for an answer, or perhaps not have an answer at all, what God does in us is more important than what he does through us. And so God has his reasons. The question is, can we go on believing? Thanks so much for joining us, and I do hope that you'll continue to listen to The Triumph of Unanswered Prayer.
That was Erwin Lutzer concluding When the Promises Don't Work, the first message in a 6-part series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. We've all been there, and next time we'll learn how to cope when the answer is delayed. To help you work through some tough issues, this series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the triumph of unanswered prayer. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.